The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Book of Galatians, let's see that. Galatians chapter 5. Talk about they that are Christ. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Those who get here are those who are is. Let's see Romans chapter 8. Let's see those who have crucified the flesh. It says, but ye are not of the flesh, but of the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. It says, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So those who have the spirit of Christ are those who have the law of Christ. They have that life. And it's that life, it's that law that stands as a crucifixion. It's what judges the flesh. So when a believer has gotten here where his life is a judgment to the carnal life, is a judgment to flesh, he hasn't necessarily gotten to a place where he will be hated by the world, in the words of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 7. He actually even now qualifies. He can still be tempted to love the world, like those little children, young men, and fathers. There was a victory over flesh they had had from the sanctuary. Amen. But John was still telling them that they should love not the world. So you see, the world has expressions. I like to say that the world has a milk expression. That's what we're talking about, flesh. Works of the flesh is a milk expression of the world. It's a milk expression of the world. That's what's troubling many people that are hungry. It's not many people out there. Some can go through the route of ignorance. They can journey in ignorance, like when you see some stars, in the music world. They are no more ignorant. They actually love the world. They have journeyed from works of flesh. They have journeyed into the meat of the world, which is a love. It's a love program. So when you journey into the meat of the world, you journey from sin to death. And that's why it says, and that's why such persons are carnally minded. That's why they are at enmity, because they have a contrary law. The world, flesh has brought them to the world, and the world is on its way to bring them to Satan. Can you see that? Flesh brings the soul to the world. It's an aspect of the world, like I said, but it actually brings the soul to a place where it can generate capacity to love the world, to seek his own. So when you say sin and death, you are talking about an aspect. You can call it the meat of this world. Because the world actually also has another expression. It has a strong meat. Yeah. That was what Jesus was calling. That's what he was warning those little children, young men, and fathers not to love. So when Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world, Demas was not ignorant, because Demas had been with Paul for over a decade. It's just like myself, having been with Reverend for this long, if I turn, I will really, really go bad. Because why? I have seen something. I have seen Jesus in a man. I have, like he says concerning Paul, Paul's writing concerning to Timothy, he says, you have known my faith, my charity, my doctrine. That known is a conversation has been handed over. Such a one is no more ignorant. Such a person has known ways. He has seen ways embodied. And it's one of the greatest ways the Lord instructs us. Why have many, some of us journeyed this far? Not because of what we have seen in the page of scriptures, but what we have seen in flesh. A life that men have brought into their flesh. And that's why a lot of times God can raise the image of men to instruct us. Image, meaning sometimes you just find an image or you just hear the voice of Daddy, Reverend Busui. You just hear what he said in a particular message. Why? That's because him and what he's saying are one. So the Lord can use his image to speak to you. Because there is a formation. He has something that he has known has now been passed across. And that's how God passes life to generations. Amen. Hallelujah. So I said, life campaign is a campaign against the world. And now what for that is a campaign against this present life. We saw how men in the Old Testament, how there was an expression of the world then. That the book of Hebrews chapter 11, for example, used the word. It talked about how the world was not worthy of some. And talk about how some condemned the world. That was an expression of the world. That was actually high, because that was an expression of the world that raised Cain. That was an expression of the world that raised Nimrod. It was available. So that expression of the world is not just sin and death. That was an expression of the world that went after sons of God in Genesis chapter 11. Because the world will either use pleasure, the weapons of the world, either pleasure or pressure or pain. Those are the weapons that the world uses in different levels, depending on. So meaning. When Jesus, for example, said in John chapter 14 or so, he says, be of cheer, little children. I have overcome the world. Let's see that. John chapter 13, 14. Okay, thank you. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. You shall have troubles. You shall have pressures. You shall have, the world will use pain against you. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This is the book of John. Why is he making reference to the world? Because he knew the world. And he had come over the world. He had used faith, not just in the sanctuary. He has used faith to a place, even into the most holy. He moved faith into salvation. And that's where he saw the many sides of the world. And that's where he hated the world. By loving the Father, he was actually hating the world. So a season comes, for example, where a believer is not in the curriculum of loving the Father. That starts in the sanctuary somewhere, if you look at it. That's why it says, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You find such people in the sanctuary, those charity breeds. That's where love for the Father starts. Are we in the house, please? So, Jesus, I was looking at it earlier today. I saw that Jesus' love for the Father was possessive. He was possessed. I saw one thing, and I think it will help me in my walk with the Lord. I saw how he allowed the Father he yielded his will to the Father. I saw how he delighted in the Father being in control of his life. Amen. I look at the number of mention of the word Father in the book of John. And you find that with children. Children. When a child is no more always talking about the Father, is no more always believing in the Father, he has ceased from being a child. When a child can doubt what the Father is saying, he has ceased to be a child. A child will, he can only believe, my daddy said, my mommy said. That's how Jesus was. So I know we have a picture of a man that was 30 years old, but in his soul, he was relating with the Father like a child. And that's why the world hated him, because the world knows that when a soul can get to a place where he relinquishes control of his will, when a soul can relate with the Father like lambs do, the world knows that it's a matter of time it will be judged. Her works will be revealed. I remember in the book of Numbers and the book of Leviticus, one of the requirements when they are offering a sacrifice is that they bring a lamb, a year old, without, I think, blemish. So this image of a lamb is the image of somebody who doesn't have a mind of his. He is subject to the mind of the shepherd. That's what makes a sheep a sheep. That's what makes a child a child. So, and a child, when a child leaves that season of life, is actually in that season that his human spirit experienced death. That's when he wants to do a thing of his own. That's when he wants to have an identity of his own. That's when he wants to seek his own things. He has lost an estate. So the gospel is to roll back, is to bring a soul. The age we acquired, when we journeyed from being a child to being an adult, the gospel wants to roll back that age, back to a place where we now become children again. So, when a child leaves that estate of innocence, the first exposure he actually has is not with the world. Or maybe it's with the milk of the world, which is what I call flesh. Flesh is what receives children. Flesh is actually what the enemy uses to introduce death to the spirits of children. That's what Reverend said. He said, somewhere between the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, a lot of times, most children experience death in their spirit. Their human spirit is not quickened, but it's not dead. God gave that human spirit. But something at some point in time murders that spirit. Sin. And the expression of sin there is actually flesh. So flesh is what Satan uses to receive children and then prepare them to a place to be able to take the world. To be able to take the next allocation of the world, which I call the meat of the world. And of course, what is in the world is a higher expression of pleasure than is found in flesh. That's where they will now begin to give rights. When you say the world, you're talking about rights. That's where they will now arm a believer who has been exposed to flesh with rights. And that's why you see such persons, check what they say. Check what they have to say. Somewhere in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, he said, they that say such things. Let's see that. Hebrews chapter 11. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. These are those who were handling a confession of most holy faith. Hebrews chapter 11. It was actually the most holy people who came into the faith of everlasting life of that dispensation. And it was by that faith they wrestled with the appearing or the appearance of the world of their time. So the world has been. It's only that it has many versions. And God regulates which of the versions? Is it milk? Is it meat? God regulates it. That's why the Bible says he will not allow us to be tempted more than what we can bear. Amen. I wrote something yesterday. I said, how wealthy a man is cannot be traced to his bank account, to his earthly achievements, or to his intellectual acumen. I said, but to how unattached he is from this present world. I go over that again. How wealthy a man is can be traced not to his bank account. It's the world that makes us, that gave that definition of wealth. Richest man, Forbes, all those, that's the world somewhere. He said, how wealthy a man is can be traced not to his bank account or his earthly achievement or intellectual acumen, but to how unattached he is to this present world. His confessions or sayings about his earthly identity. You can also trace how wealthy a man is. Check his confession. Check what he is saying. Like we read concerning those patriarchs there. It took stature for them to say that they were strangers and pilgrims. What they were saying was that there's nothing in this world. His confessions and sayings about his earthly identity and what kind of things he has to say about the present world and the world to come. That's, you can know how wealthy a man is. Check what he's saying about the world to come. Check what he's saying about the present world. Spirits reckon with our thoughts, our confessions, because our confessions is a product of our conversation, is a product of our work. Are we in the house, please? I want to say, and such are those who can die believing he who is invisible, who despite having come into true greatness that comes through walking with the Father and inheriting his name, will be detached from the air that accompanies such. So I said here, such are those who can die believing in the invisible. Why? Because from the beginning, the way, even from Eden, how God wanted to deal with that tree was to get Adam to believe in the invisible. What the world uses to tempt men are things that are seen and things that are not seen, which are less than the invisible. Are we in the house, please? The invisible is higher than what is seen and what is not seen. Meaning there are things that are not seen that are inferior to the invisible. The invisible is a realm of life. So all temptations comes from the realm of things you see. And of course, things you don't see or things you hope for. But those things, they are less than what is invisible. The invisible is in the realm of God. I think Romans chapter 1 puts it. Let's see that. He said the invisible things of God. So that was God's way of preserving that generation. Bring the invisible. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead. We know the eternal power is everlasting life and the Godhead, the realm of eternal. Eternal power, the power to come to the eternal God as everlasting life. And then the Godhead. So these two things have been available all the while. This was God's way to keep or to preserve man from everything that can be traced to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. These are the two things that were to keep man. Firstly, you have the power of God. Christ, the power of God. It keeps us unto salvation, or it separates us from flesh to a place where we have an estate, where we have a life that we can use to relate to the Father. By virtue of that life, we can now begin to seek salvation. So, and it's in seeking salvation, we have what's called the eternal power of God. Like you have the divine power, the power to come to divine nature. You also have the eternal power, the power which is everlasting life, to come to the Godhead or the only true God. Are we in the house, please? So if these provisions, which is what summarized the invisible, if it was available way back, meaning it was man's immunity against what was in that tree. So this was what Jesus gave him his life as an adventure for. So Jesus lived a life that saw the Father have control over his will. He lived like he didn't have a will. He lived like what? My father. I looked at almost about 100 and something verses. My father. And that tells you something about the book of John. He saw the Father. He saw the relationship between Jesus, that Jesus had with the Father. He saw that thing. Meaning, and that's what they call salvation. He saw it until it punctuated every of his thoughts. Like I said earlier, he was practically possessed. He so made reference to the Father in all his conversation to a place where at some point in time they wanted to stone him. Because he was exalting a standard before men. He was reminded, God was, by that conversation, which are works, he was telling that generation of men that man can become a lamb. Because lambs are those who are not in control of their lives. Lambs are those who depend on the mind of their shepherds. And that's who Jesus was. Jesus lived without. Amen. Okay, so Jesus' life was unveiling something. We only saw it in a shadow in those Old Testament saints. Like it was for Father Abraham. I believe one of the reasons why Sarah could call Abraham Lord was because she saw how a man was sold out to the Lord, how he was yielded to the Lord, how a man was not in control of his life. She saw, in our words, how a man will be a mumu for God. And she had a weakness in her heart that man was on course with destiny. She saw how a man was so controlled by how God dealt with him to a place where he yielded to God. And that was what also inspired her to submit and to call her Lord. So meaning she saw a lamb in Abraham. She saw something she could not resist. She saw a conversation that she could not wrestle with, that wrestled her to delight in submission. Amen. So Jesus also, I saw how all his life, number one, he lived, the first name he had, the first name he had was the name called Christ. We lived pursuing different things over years. I saw the way, for example, God raised his servant, our dad in the Wigoke. I saw how God led him. He won't be where he is or where he was even 10 years ago if God could not lead him that way. God led him in a way that was contrary to how he led, how all other men, most men that were his contemporaries were led. They led him in a way that he didn't have control of his life. They led him in a way that explained the foolishness of the cross. They went against flesh in his life. And when they can deal with flesh, they cannot begin to prepare a soul to love the Father. Because when flesh has been dealt with, through the cross, Christ is formed. Once Christ is formed, what Christ seeks, if Christ is formed, is the Father. The Father becomes his predominant thought. Just like flesh, at some season for us, was our predominant thought. Just like the world, for some, is their predominant thought. The Father was his predominant thought. And that's one hallmark, one sign that a believer is his. You talk about, He that is Christ. One proof in the spirit is that when such a believer has that spirit, when such a believer is Christ, there's one thing you'll be looking for. One thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I said Jesus was led. They led him in a way that the first thing he had as a possession was nature. Was a name. Because there's something in man that is looking for greatness. We're all looking for a name. So when you see a man looking for achievement, he's actually looking for a name. He wants something to be conferred on his name. But they led our Lord Jesus in a way that the first life, the first possession his soul will have, is the life of Christ. Which is actually meant to be the first life the soul is meant to handle. Unlike many of us, that the first life we handled was flesh. It's a life. It gives us an identity. It gives us a name before men. So the first life that was tangible to our Lord Jesus was the life of God called Christ. It was a possession. And it's a possession that a soul can bank with. You can bank on that possession. If you have it, you can bank on it. If you have it, the natural, even we begin to relate with you differently. Do you hear that? If you have that name, that nature, that inheritance, the natural, even angels of the footstool will relate with you differently. Some of them, when they fell, they became demons. Are we in the house, please? They will relate with you differently. Why? Because of that measure of authority of life. There's a class of ministering spirits you will enjoy. The earth will relate with you differently, meaning there's a way the world has been arranged. There's a way man has been. There's a way man relates with food and raiment. The life of Christ is meant to help us disobey that thing. Or is to help us live like birds of the air do. They know. They have a knowing. They have a law that my Father in heaven. That's why they don't take thought. They are a kind of a believer that have a name, a nature. Is that nature that empowers them not to take thought for what they will eat, what they will drink. And that's the same estate when a believer has, when he's in possession of the life of God called Christ. That life bears with it a law. So is that law that empowers the soul not to take thought? Is that law that makes that soul or like that bed to know that my Father in heaven? That's how he responds to thoughts. When spirits are throwing thoughts to us to take thoughts concerning tomorrow, is that spirit, is that law, is that nature, is that name that responds? My Father in heaven, my Father in heaven. So we can know your Christ formation by the frequency of response from your soul to thoughts. Meaning our days are meant to be punctuated by those words, my Father in heaven, my Father in heaven. Know it that I have need of this thing. My Father in heaven, my Father in heaven, my Father in heaven. Why? That's a child. That's a little child. What limits us from doing so is because sins have not been remitted. Sins that mostly can be traced to works, flesh. And when those sins are remitted, we have escaped a corruption. We have escaped a soul state that makes us take thought. And that's why we can now take thought from the Father. And what the Father, the thoughts that is coming from the Father is to prepare us to love the Father. Until we can have his name, until we can have his nature, until we can have his law, until we can have his spirit. And it's in the process of doing so, we'll love the Father to a place where we can now really, really hate the world and be hated by the world. So, like I said earlier, we need age to come to a place where the world hates us. Our life must have been a judgment like we saw in a shadow in the Old Testament. What makes the world? You know, he said that in that John chapter 8. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it hated me because I testify of the works. Jesus had judgment of everlasting righteousness. Judgment. The Father had committed all judgment. That's the dividend for loving the Father or for loving the things of the Father. So, because I testified that the works are evil. What is this testimony? This is a testimony. Jesus here had been raised as a witness that a man, that the actual man is a lamb. The actual man with God's image is actually a lamb. He's actually a man without his will. He's a man that does the will of another. The will of his Father. He's a man that delights in the doing of the will of his Father. That's why in this company, one thing we should not despise is what we already see that makes many of us, for example, you know, always refer to God's servant in the house. For us there, you know, maybe in New Living Church, for example, you find many of the flock making it to Pastor Maker said, in EGFM, Daddy said, Mommy said, Mommy Helen said, you see, that thing is not ordinary. Those are children. That's the relationship between children and fathers. So you see that thing you say, when you say, Reverend Bushi said, in the course of your day, maybe you're about to take a decision or you're just exhorting one another. Reverend Bushi said, that's the relationship between children and fathers. Don't despise it. Many people who draw back from this company, one of the things that make them do so is they see that as being controlling. They feel the control is too much. You don't have a mind of yours, not knowing that, like it was for our Lord Jesus. Every time he was always hiding under the Father. He was always presenting the Father. He was always talking about the Father. And that's how to hide in this world. That's how to keep ourselves from the wicked one. Satan just wanted him on just one occasion, not two, one. Some of us, we have the blood to fall back to. We have repentance to fall back to. He did not have an opportunity of repenting. So he must not get it wrong once. So he responded to every thought, my father. He wants to know and say what his father is saying. And he got there. He got to that place where he said it was a nature. It's that nature that was speaking. I can of myself do nothing. But that which I see my father do. I said Jesus was possessed. Meaning we can be possessed. I want to be possessed by the Father. I want to know what Father says about everything. And one way for me is to know what Reverend K says about everything. Pastor said, we learn it with men that he has placed before you. That's how Jesus did it. So we are already trading with a secret that we are already being tempted to despise. We don't know that is a treasure. That thing, as long as we are doing so, we remain under covering. The Father in heaven likes to hear that thing. Reverend Bushi said, Mommy Binkpe said, Pastor Dizin said. So all those things are meant to make up our confession, our sayings. That's how we keep ourselves. So there are some of our contemporaries in ministry. Some of them, they drew back from us. Because they were not comfortable with that arrangement. They saw that there's no, it looked like an environment that is controlling. You say, Reverend is, you know, there's not a lot of people. Not knowing that, see, you are either being controlled by the Lord or you are being controlled by the world. There's no neutral gear in the realm of the Spirit. You must be under one or a control. Even in the centurion man, he says, I'm a man under authority. Meaning I'm a man under control. That's another word for control. authority. I say to this one, so what we are struggling to delight in, they are keeping it. That's what's keeping the military institution, for example, in place. They obey the last order. And that's why God, a lot of times, the training to help us to yield control of our lives to the Lord and then to the Lord Almighty. A lot of times, the Lord brings it around monetary issues because he knows that money can help us break free of control. I can tell you, if you get it right in the area of, like our Lord Jesus did with the Father, some financial increase that you can't imagine, the Lord will bring it your way. One reason why he doesn't have the liberty to is because he knows that when you have that thing, it will become an escape. It will become an empowerment to escape control. You know why? Because the thoughts, look at me, the thoughts that are coming your way now, they're not the thoughts that will come your way when you have $1 million. The thoughts that come your way is different from when you have $1 million. So if you can't, my father, when you are relating with $1 million, you can't do it with $1 million. So can we get to a place where we delight in what we call control? It's the secret of lambs. They are under the control of their shepherds. And that's what makes them safe. That's what makes them blameless. For you to get at them, you have to hit the shepherd. I have no authority to be writing. If not that I'm under covering. It's from there I'm throwing arrows. The day I come out of covering, that's the day I must stop writing. Or else I will become a casualty. We are men under authority, meaning we are men under somebody's control. And we must, so you delight in that so-called control until you generate works that will not become a law in you. In the season of Christ, in the season of the Father, it's works. When you generate, by walking, works are generated. When works are completely generated, it becomes a law. It's by that law you speak to the enemy at the gates. It's that law that, when Jesus was speaking, it was a law that was speaking. It was the script, the wisdom of that law that was speaking. In the season of everlasting life, it's the same thing. You generate works and works and works and works. When that works are complete, like it was, like the seven, some of the seven churches were on course to becoming. If they are come to a place of completion of those works, like it says one of the churches, I've not found your works perfect. If they are come to a place where their works were perfect, they would have had what Paul was delighting in, which is called the law of God. That was the law Jesus was in possession of that made the world hate him. The world will hate you when you are in possession of God's law. Because your life has become a template, a reference that man is actually a lamb of God. Real man. And spirits know that when a soul gets there, their days are numbered. What they get right, many others will get it right. That's what's happening in this work. What our fathers in the faith have gotten right. It's what we are beholding, and we are becoming what we are beholding. So we must not stop beholding. You see that sheepish thing of following them. We must do it better. That's where laws are gathered. Amen. The Father was able to control a man from the beginning to the end. At some point in time, the Father was practically, in quote, carried away. Like he was for David in a shadow. When he swore, I found David my servant. With him have I anointed. See how he was talking? He was carried away because he saw a friend. He saw somebody who was delighting in being subject to him. He saw somebody who was not looking for his will. He could not resist. God, when God sees such a man, he can't resist him. So I saw how our Lord Jesus, how John was able to see the transaction between the Father and the Son. That's what they are showing us. Hey. When you see that thing, you have seen salvation. The class of ministry spirit that minister to you will change. So it's something we should be seeing every day. It should punctuate our thoughts. What took place between the Father and the Son? Holy Ghost, he says, shall take of mine and show it. It's what Holy Ghost wants to show. Anytime Holy Ghost is not showing, it's because you are looking for something else. You know, there are things around salvation. Just like there are things around the work of God or ministry. There are many things around salvation. And everything around salvation, Satan can use it. The only thing he can't use is salvation. The only thing he can't use, he doesn't have that sense. Amen. So can we get to a place where actually the only thing, if our Christ formation is okay, if that's the case, the only thing, the primary thing, the chief thing we'll be looking for is salvation. Why? Salvation will mean to you what it meant to our Lord Jesus. When that was the case, Jesus knew that on no occasion must he sin against the Father. And I'm saying I can get there. Something happened some time ago. Daddy and mommy traveled and they came back. And I and my wife went to visit them. Picked them at the airport. You know, got back home, spent some hours. And then it was about 5 or so. So my wife wanted to go home. I also wanted to, you know, leave. And then we're watching because we have to wait. You know, and then, you know. So at some point, Daddy went in. And we thought, you know, maybe he would just call it a day and he may not come out for long. So we just send the message that, okay, we have left. But when we now left, later apparently Daddy came back. Of course, we have spent from morning till like evening. But somewhere, I knew we could have done something differently. We could have maybe waited more. You won't believe it. That simple mistake or oversight for days I was repenting. I wish I could turn the hands of the clock backwards. I was repenting. I sent chat. I come. Daddy said, it's okay. Tayo, it's okay. I said, no. Daddy, please. I continue to repent. I repent. Then Daddy now sent me a text. I won't tell the content of the text. He was overwhelmed with my repentance. 4 days, morning, evening, night. Why? Because I can't joke with that connection. How I handle my relationship with him is a reflection. When the Father wants to check how I relate with him, they just check how I relate with Reverend. If you believe this thing, you are blessed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sufifika kakaro shetiliada kakea prefiniti atoka. Meke silia toke filetu silia. Is to see. You need to see. You need to see. You need to see. For we are doing a work. We are doing a work. We are doing a work that would destroy the works of the devil, the works of the adversary. We are showing you high wisdom, high level of wisdom, high level of wisdom. We are converting you. A conversion is going on. You must become a child again. For many has outgrown their childhoodness. You have outgrown it. You must come back to it. You must be converted to become a little child again that beholds the face of his father. You must come back to that point again. You must come back. You must come back. A work is going on even in the realm of the spirit. This is how we raise overcomers. This is how we raise overcomers. Those who will not stick out their head. Oh, those who will not stick out their head. Those who will revere even the authority that is set even over them. Those who will behold them. Those who will wait on them. You must wait on them, for this is how we mark you in the realm of the spirit. This is how we mark you. This is how we mark you. This is how we mark you. When we behold your order, we look at you. We behold you as you are under the authority that is set over you. We behold you through that Google. We behold you through that Google. We behold you. We behold you as you stay there, as you keep this wisdom, as you keep this order, as you keep this order, so you grow in the spirit, so you increase in the spirit, so you break spirits also. You break spirit, you destroy spirit. You allow our walk to come to term even in you. You allow our walk, you allow our walk to finish its cycle in you, to finish its cycle in you. Regard the authority I have set over you. This is how to be childlike. This is how to be childlike. This is how even your Lord, even Jesus, this is how he could overcome. This is how he overcame all the darts that was shot at him. He hid himself. He hid himself under the Father. He hid himself completely under the Father. You must hide under your Father. You must hide under your Father. You must be a son forever with your Father. For you see, you must be there forever. You don't outgrow it. You don't outgrow it. You don't outgrow it. You don't break out of it. Oh, it is a father-son relationship. It is a father-son relationship. It is an everlasting wisdom. It is also an eternal wisdom. Stay with this wisdom, for we are showing you a walk. We are showing you a walk. And as you believe this walk, the same is being wrought inside of you. See the Spirit.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 17, he says that they may be one as we are one. You know, that's why they wanted to stone him. Because he called the Father one. And the reason why he was one with the Father, because he had the same spirit the Father had. And what bad spirit is works, conversations, which is one of what I just have been sharing about, is what bad. All these writings, many of the speakings we're under, they are writing. They are like script, like computer script. But you know, sometimes they can be developing an application for 1 year. They've not completed it and executed it. When that writing is complete and when they click execute, a law has been drafted. Or I know what that is. In the season of Christ, you have what is called a new spirit. In the season of the everlasting life of the Father, you have what is called my spirit. So it's with my spirit you become one with the Father. Which is where we are headed. So I read earlier from Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 5, where it says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That's chapter 5, verse 24. But in chapter 6, verse 14, he was saying something different. He says, but God forbid. So he was forbidding what the Father forbade. Do you see that? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is different. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. Is different from being crucified. It's different from chapter 5 verse 24 where it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. After they that have Christ have crucified the flesh, they need to now through keeping the commandments of everlasting life come here. And this is what makes a soul blessed. Revelation chapter 22 says, blessed are they that keep thy commandment. He said, for they will have right of way to the tree of life. It's out of that blessed estate or blessed configuration that Paul was speaking here. So what was Paul saying here? When he says, God forbid that I should glory or boast or pride in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. So I believe that the season the Lord is raising the kind of stars that he wants to place in the firmament of the world to come. That we have crucified flesh and his works is lesser, comes before being crucified to the world and the world to us. So that was the call upon those saints, those fathers, little children, young men and fathers, when he told them, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The things that are in the world are actually conversations. It's not just car. There's some unbeliever, car and all these things that is troubling you, troubling many believers, not troubling them. It's not things that are seen. A lot of times it's things that are not seen. Things that will embellish their name before men. Things that will make them glory. Because man was programmed to glory. Man came short of glory. There's something in every soul in it is looking for glory. It's in every man. Father Abraham was looking for glory. That's why he says, I will make your name great. I will confer something on your name. It's there. So we are now in a season when, as Christ's company, you have exposures. You'll be privileged to relate with, especially now that we have a move of God on the earth called the word of righteousness. There was a point in time there was a move of the word of milk faith, into the body. You see, the way some of God's servants then and ministers handle that move is not the way God expects us to handle this move. God expects us to be so committed yet separated. Because no flesh will glory in his presence. We can glory in this thing. Some of us, we don't even know the motivation for some of our commitment. Some of our commitment to these waters is not yet because of salvation. It's because it has something to offer our name, our person. It's there. It's until you can judge your thoughts and motives that you see it. Because truly, if you have company with Reverend Bushi, for example, that thing will impact your person before men, before even yourself. I remember the Lord told me some years ago. He said, "Be very committed to the work, serving under God's servant. The student, the saints abroad." He said, "Be committed yet separated." When the Lord says a thing, just know that you don't know. Just know that you only know in part. Is it that I began to realize that okay, over the years, many of the work God was doing in one was to be able to have some level of consecration to him. So a time came, and now a lot of times when the Lord tells you a thing, when you understand it, you'll be able to paraphrase it in your own words. So when it was time, and I saw in my own words, and I saw what the Lord was saying was that what he asked for me in the course of that service is salvation. And there are many things outside salvation. Many. Every thought have something about salvation or something that is contrary to salvation or inferior to salvation. So God wanted a mind that is toss-minded. A mind that just like you have a carnal mind. It's the same way you can have in Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 set your affection. So God wanted me to set my mind, my affections on things that pertain to salvation. And truly, in every conversation, especially after you have come through faith upon charity, in every conversation, there's either salvation or something of the world. If you are not touching salvation, you are touching something of the world. Something that you can glory in. Something that can impact your person before men.
something that can embellish your name. And that's why everlasting life is an empowerment to say no. Again, in seasons of glory. Amen. Amen. I believe heaven is waiting for us to model something before the church. How we are relating with this move of the Spirit. It's a move of the Spirit. It's a move of the Spirit. It's a great honor for us to be in the, as it were, following those who are in the forefront of it. Many perks, privileges are going to begin to come. And they will wrestle with our eyes. They will wrestle with our sight. They will wrestle with our heart. If our heart is not fixated on salvation, if salvation does not mean to you what it meant to our Lord Jesus and to Paul, we will lose many battles and we will miss out in being examples to the body of Christ. And it's then and now I appreciated what Paul meant when he says those things that were gained to me. You know, we're not yet, some of us were not, we don't have some privileges, exposures, platforms and what have you, opportunities. People calling your name, people thanking you, people what have you. You don't yet, you are not yet in a season where gain. Gain will be around your name. But Paul, because he got to that place where he forbade what God forbade, and out of that, he hated what God hated. And it takes the love of the Father to get there. He said, God forbid. Can we get to a place where we forbid, where we hate what God hates? Like one of the churches. He said, you hate what I hate. But there were some other things God hated that he didn't hate. So meaning until the hate program is complete in us. Until the hate program is complete in us, we can't really, they can't satisfy that testimony that we love the Father. We must complete the curriculum of loving the Father for us to hate the world. And that is when the world will actually hate us. Why? Because we have loved righteousness and we have hated iniquity. We have hated what Adam wanted to adventure. We have hated what Jesus hated. Especially in those last few years of his life. May we get there in Jesus' name. May we successfully model before this the body of Christ, before the church at large, who an example of the believer is. In words, in spirit, in conversation. In Jesus' name. Come just appreciate the Lord.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.